is a subdivision and rezoning for property located at the southeast corner of Community Row and Rannick Avenue, Ridgewood South Area 10, under file DASZ 53/2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely, item 5 is a variance for the said property under file DAV 178045/2013D.
And good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for sticking with us here. My first applicant are Adam and Lauren Sharp and Mr. Hester. I'm guessing you're Mr. Hester.
Yes. Hi, I'm Don Hester with AECOM.
Okay. All right, so the floor is yours.
As I was saying, I'm Don Hester with AECOM, and I'm representing Seekville. I'm a senior planner and landscape architect, and AECOM is at 99 Commerce Drive in Winnipeg. We've got some brief slides. I'll talk for a few minutes, and then I'll turn it over to Adam Sharf, and he'll have a few things to say. So I guess the next one, please. Just to make sure you all know where it is, basically we're just south of Rannick, just north of the Hart Trail, and Community Row lots are backing on the site, as well as lots along Vanscoy. Next. So really, the lot sizes and zoning are generally consistent with the existing lots in the surrounding Charleswood area, with the exception of Vanscoy, which has extremely large estate lots. So particularly Community Row and Rannick, the lots are fairly similar in size to what we're proposing. The lot sizes and lot areas are also generally consistent with the requirements of the Ridgewood South Precinct Plan. They may be a little larger than really is what was expected in the Precinct Plan. That relates to the surrounding context. And we are, as per the Precinct Plan, providing a greenway connection from a lake and park area in the north part of this development area to the Hart Trail through a small park at just north of the Hart Trail. Next. So we have done some talking to the neighbors, and basically this involved a number of informal meetings between the developer and especially Adam Sharf and local residents. We had a public open house which 70 people attended at Charleswood United Church May 16th. Basically, we found that there was about equal numbers of people attending that liked the plan or didn't like the plan. One of the features they did like was the idea of access to the Hart Trail. Some of the comments were related to construction and so on. One of the major concerns which we have addressed in further meetings is backing on properties. About 52% of the people had no comments. Next. So Adam Sharf, based on primarily the concerns of people on Vanscoy, backing on the development area, met with a number of landowners and determined how their concerns might be addressed. So we have adjusted the plan since the last time you saw it to increase lot depths backing on Vanscoy. Lots in the area that back on directly on lots on Vanscoy are 140 feet deep. That's 42.67 meters versus 115. And just by comparison, the Vanscoy lots are 180 foot depth. Next. So this is the plan that's been adjusted. We've patched in the Vanscoy lots for comparison.
That is since your public open house, so you pushed the houses forward,
yes.
Essentially.
Okay. We've pushed we call it Street A, but yeah. Street A has been moved to the west to allow for 140 foot lot depth on Vanscoy, especially on the lots that are directly backing. Where there is a big pylots and actually some City of Winnipeg land that I believe is surplus and being sold to the homeowners, they are back to 115 feet deep. So you can see the transition there. This plan shows basically those large lots on Vanscoy and our not quite so deep lots backing on the Vanscoy lots. shows the fact that we are actually, aside from having a stormwater detention basin and park in the north end with a trail or active transportation corridor that runs down the street to connect to the Hart Trail, we have left in a future cul-de-sac potential because we understand that some of the landowners on Community Row close to Rannoch may want to develop the back ends of their very deep lots. Next, please. So development phasing. The first phase of development is basically a connection between Rannoch in the north and Glenbush in the southeast, and that would include basically 31 lots, of which 8 are on that little road stub and the remaining 23 on the on backing on Vanscoy. Next. So we have a total development area of 8.855 hectares, a stormwater retention basin of about 0.8 of a hectare. Park area is again 0.7 something. So really of the developed area minus the SRB, it's about 8.1% park area. And that gives you the total number of dwelling units in the actual Seekville subdivision, 79, of which 31 would be developed in phase one. Average width is about 15.85 meters, which is 52 feet. Next. I won't go through all the statistics, but just to give you the range, the lots range from 15.65 to 15.85 meters, and the depths are 34 meters, just about 140 feet, or 42.7 meters. Next. Transportation. This area is essentially infill, although it is part of the Ridgewood South precinct, and so we have lower residential densities, somewhat different transportation requirements from Ridgewood South. Next. And vehicular and pedestrian points. I just want to point out that there are potential for 6 lots in Qualico-owned land on the southwest part of our development area, and potential for 6 more lots on the lots that would potentially split on the area we've left for a cul-de-sac. And so with those, you'd have up to 91 dwelling units potentially coming from this area. And as I mentioned, there's walkway connections through the development, both to the west, to the north, and to the south, as well as to the east along Glenbush. Thank you. A little bit about servicing. This just basically gives our engineers are diligently pursuing, you know, have done their homework, I guess, in terms of connections. We're connecting the land drainage down to a stub on Civic Avenue, so it'll go along Rannoch from a lake that's just at the north end of the development area, down Rannoch to Civic, and tie into a 450 land drainage sewer. We have, as I said, just about a 0.5 hectare SRB, and there'll be some slight build-up using the fill from that to make sure that there's drainage on the lots. Next. So this just shows the SRB. We would also appreciate consideration in terms of what was just agreed to with Qualico, looking for a 100% dedication as opposed to 50% for land that's above the high water level of the stormwater retention basin. Next, it could be a dry pond as well, by the way. We haven't yet done the engineering, but if it is, it would be landscaped in an appropriate manner. So this just basically shows the LDS down Rannoch, next, tying into basically the system that was shown in the precinct plan. Next. Excuse me. Wastewater sewer we're taking down Glenbush, so it would go to the southeast down Glenbush, tie into the Hearthstone subtrunk, and then basically be pumped from Community Row pumping station to the lagoons. We've done the hydraulic simulations for this, and our engineers are fairly confident in the modeling they have. Next. And that just basically shows the wastewater servicing down Glenbush. It's the orange line. just at the southeast corner, going to Hearthstone. Next. Water servicing is readily available. Basically, on Community Row, there's a 300-millimeter water service, and it's actually all around the development except on the south side. And with that, which is a quick overview of what we have in terms of a plan, I'll turn it over to Adam.
Yep.
Adam Scharf.
Adam Scharf, representing the landowners of Area 10. I want to actually thank the neighbors that were in communication with me actually throughout the process. Definitely a lot easier taking people's concerns into account when you're actually creating a plan than to just try to guess what they're thinking. So I would like to thank everybody for that. Because of that input, like Don said, we increased a whole bunch of lots from 115 to 140. And now actually, if it's okay with everybody else, I was just talking with some neighbors tonight. And one of their biggest concerns is, well, from what I'm aware anyways, is building from their rear yard setback, so from the fence line. After discussing with that, we went back and forth with some numbers, and I'd like to actually make an amendment for no buildable structures above ground for lots 16 to 23. From 16 to 23, from 25 feet to 30 feet rear yard setback. So that would be, do you have the... Do you have a mouse?
This is probably from about there.
From
there north.
From here up.
What are you talking about? Closer to the front of the property, you're saying, right?
No, we just don't want them to build anything within the back and, like, the rear setback. So there's no buildable structures within that, so it's going to pull the house further away from the back. So from, there you go, from this lot up, we'd like to increase the rear yard setback from 25 feet to 40 feet. And not allow any buildable structures above ground, like garages, sheds, stuff like that. And then for the ones going down, the more shallow lots, we'd like to change it from 25 feet to 30 feet of a setback. In discussions with the neighbors, they were talking about they didn't want to feel like any structures were right on top of them or too close to the fence, so there's a good buffer zone, which I can appreciate. And so... I think it was one of the neighbors that actually brought that point up to me, and I spoke to the landowners, and they seem to all be in agreement with it.
We'll obviously ask the neighbors when they come up, but that's something that they were amenable to and would be somewhat supportive of the...
Yeah, like we'd like to make that amendment. Obviously, they can speak however they want to speak. But.
Okay, so why do you want to do that, though? Like, how much room does that leave in the backyard if people want a gazebo or... screened in patio, like what is that doing to the backyard?
It's limiting it, for sure.
And then what about the green space in behind the yard as well? Like, why would you impose that on yourself?
It's trying to work with the neighbors. I'm trying to make everyone happy here.
I just foresee other problems with it, that we're going to need variances for how to fit a whatever in the backyard, right?
Fair point.
It'd be closer to the neighboring behind property.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then another topic that was brought up is R1L compared to R1M. The landowners don't have a problem with it one way or another. So in true democratic fashion, I mean, whatever the neighbors want, I mean, we're okay with. Can just leave that up to them. I guess the main difference is R1M, the front yard setback is 15 feet. R1L, it's 20 feet from the front yard. And you can only, on R1L, your house can only cover 40% of land. R1M, it can cover 45% of land.
But it doesn't impact any density because they're individual lots, at least the area that's adjacent to kind of where the neighbors have some concerns, right? So it's the same amount of density that's happening. Just a realignment of where the actual properties are situated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a meeting in the middle, I guess, of what the neighbors want. Possibly more amenable to, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Definitely meeting in the middle somewhere.
Is that where the majority of the, you know, if there's people in opposition to it, that is mainly right along that stretch, right? Is that?
Seems like it, but I'll let them speak to that. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen.
We'll call you back up.
Yeah, you'll have a chance to come and rebut at the end and not introduce any new information, but take notes about what you will hear in the next few minutes. I don't know. There it is. So I've got three other folks that are in support, and I would suspect this one will give me his consent. Lorne Scharf, in support. Okay. Abe Friesen?
In support.
Okay. You don't need to speak? Okay, sir. And Stan Hutton? Okay. It's on his way down. Okay, here comes Stan. What's that, sir? 5 minutes, sir. Thanks.
My name is Stan Hutton. My address is 80 Vansquay Road. And I'd like to speak specifically to the rear yard provisions. Most of the properties along Vansquay have a depth of 180 feet. Some of them, like our property at 80 Vansquay, which doesn't adjoin this property immediately, has a depth of 249 feet and is the estate size. So there's kind of a mix of properties. So the administration accepted this application and in two categories away from, I think, what is closer to the R1 estate, and took it to the R1M. I'm okay with that, provided that the houses, the buildable area, moves farther away from the Vansquay residences. So the difference between R1L and R1M is the front yard setback. So the good news for Vansquay is that the R1M would allow the potential for these two-story houses to move from a 20-foot setback to an 18 with garage, so we pick up a couple of feet. The developers made the lot sizes so that they would fit the R1 category, which is positive. The side yards are the same. The height is the same. The rear yards are the same. So on the 180 foot lots that are closer to Rannick, basically the rear yard of the buildable area, the houses, are within 80 feet of the street, which on the first 2, 3, 4 lots means that there's in effect, a 100-foot rear yard. That decreases as you get to Glenbush. So the commitment that I made as a neighbor to the developer, who's been very cooperative in spirit of trying to reach compromise with Vansquay, is let's work together to meet the intent. So if we created a no-build zone or a vegetation-only zone from the rear property back and created a normal rear yard or more than normal rear yard, then we could meet the intent of creating that distance between the existing Vansquay residences and the new residences. So the basis for my support personally was to create a 30-foot no-build zone on the 115-foot lots, and on the 140 or deeper, a 40-foot no-build zone. So there wouldn't be, because under the regular, the normal regulations, the planner can support this or verify this. You're allowed to build, I believe, up to 880 square foot detached structure within, I think it's 2 feet of the rear yard, which would mean that potentially, not only would the lots be potentially shallower than the adjoining community lots in Vanscoy, but you could have a structure that's as big as some of the homes on Vanscoy right up to their rear property lines. So if the committee sees fit to create that special yard of 30 and 40, I support the development. Any questions?
Pretty clear.
Nope, that's great.
Thank you.
Okay, we appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we've concluded the people in favor of the application. Anybody else in favor of the application that would like to speak? No, seeing none, then we will move to those in opposition. And we will, in no particular order, start with Jacqueline Clement. No speak. Okay. Gerald Engel.
Should also find out if everyone's still opposed, because it sounds like there might be some sort of somewhat agreement.
Councillor Fielding is just suggesting that if any of you folks have maybe changed your mind based on what you've heard, based on the commitment of Adam Scharf and to move the lines, so if any, you let us know. Okay, so Jacqueline, Gerald Engel, Doug and Mary Warsaba, Len Van Roon, Len, Rick Wind. You're opposed? Otto Amont? Opposed? Wendy Jacobson, Josephson? Okay. Alan Roberts? He'll speak? Okay. Deanne Coombs? Okay. A.E. Bowman? Thomas Scott? Okay. All right, Alan, it's all yours. While we're muddling with this, I'll just keep reading here. Terry and Darlene Boucher. Okay. Victoria McDonald. Walter Zernitje. You'll speak. Okay. You'll follow Darlene. Lori Wilson Zernich, okay. And Judy Taylor. You can give it to us. Yeah, Destiny, that lady's going to give you. Yeah. Well, if she wants, does she want to read it?
Do you want to read it or submit it? Just,
it's up to you, whatever you care. Okay, well, we've got a couple of people ahead of you, so
kind of working. What's next?
Is there anybody else?
No.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple of last weeks.
Can somebody else be talking?
The lady's right around the corner.
Darlene, if you're there, come on down.
Sorry about this lady.
Sure. Okay. Why don't you read the letter?
The one who's reading on behalf of the city.
Ma'am, representing Judy Taylor.
Yes.
Why don't you read your presentation and we'll take that, get rid of that.
Okay. Thank you for allowing me to speak on Judy's behalf. I'll just read to you what she said.
Share us with your name and address.
My name's Lori Wilson-Journey. I live on 64 Vanscoy Road.
Okay, you're on the list here.
I'm a neighbor, yeah. Okay, so it says, hello, my name is Judy Taylor, and I reside at 68 Vanscoy Road. First, I would like to say during all these Charleswood-related meetings, I have gained some knowledge of the workings of City Hall, plus respect for council and the information that has to be read and studied by them prior to a meeting. I do not oppose Area 10 being developed. I oppose the variance and the rezoning applications. A survey conducted in June 2013 showed that 100% of the impacted houses on Vanscoy Road objected to the variance. To my knowledge, none of the recent plans or requests for rezoning or variances were ever conveyed to the impacted community prior to the new variance signage on the Area 10 site. The city planner's report states that this site is identified as a new community. Again, referencing the complete communities document, Area 10 would be considered a stable recent community. Recent communities are areas of the city that were planned between the 1950s and the late 1990s. They are primarily low and medium density, often without sidewalks or back lanes. It is important that this area is referenced correctly. I state this for the record, as it seems that the recommendations are based on this area being considered a new community. What the complete communities plan and the approved bylaws mean to me is that if there is an infill development in an area that is surrounded by older homes with larger lots, it has to fit. There has to be the same look and feel. The rezoning of the land from R1 and R1L to R1M, residential single family medium, does not fit, in my opinion. Requesting the option to increase lot coverage, in my opinion, does not adhere to the complete communities document nor the zoning bylaw 2000-2006. The zoning bylaw, section 138, page 90 to 91, specifies that new lots in a developed parcel adjacent to existing lots are to be not less than the average lot width square footage of the existing developed lots. I find the rezoning requests a little evasive in what they're requesting. In one sense, some lots will be longer, wider, smaller, or maybe not. If the development met the policy plans and the bylaws, the look and the feel of the community, and did not create an injurious effect to the surrounding properties, then no application for variances or rezoning would be required, and the community would support the development. The complete communities document, the bylaws 2000-2006, are excellent documents, and I question why they would not just be followed. They're recent documents with an extensive amount of time and money were put into gaining their final approval. Their documents are for reference purposes, providing guidance both for the city employers involved in planning and private developers. By approving the rezoning and variances as stated, manipulates the bylaws and plans to fit what a developer requests, and ignoring the surrounding impacted community. This is not a minor variance request for zoning or zoning request. This is building a whole new area, not building a garage. As for all the reasons previously stated, I request that this rezoning request and variance requested be rejected based on non-conformance with the complete communities document and the city bylaws. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're ready, Alan.
Would appear.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Friends of the Heart Trail have no position on relative to sub-area 10. And, well, I've not spoken in any detail with Charleswood Historical Society either in this regard. I have related heavily with the Vanscoy Group. And so this is a CCHP presentation. I've also related to the CCHP people extensively on it. We take exception to the zoning of the R1M. Having met Adam Scharf for the first time yesterday morning, and he having taken it back to his group, his financial people, and willing to accept the R1M, that's accept the R1L classification, that is a big step forward. But it's not the only step. So if you'll give me a next slide. As Adam indicated, the minimum lot size or you may not have of the R1M is 3,500 square feet. R1L minimum is 5,500 square feet. And they satisfy that in virtually every lot. I believe there might be one or two that are slightly undersized, but they're pretty darn close. My lot, I'm the one on the west end of Glenbush, in case you didn't realize, is 20,000 square feet. There are 3.5 lots beside and planned to be built on or developed beside my property. All 3.5 would fit onto my lot and turn around. If that is similitude, I'm not sure what the definition of the term is. It's not similitude. 100 by 200. 100
by 200.
101 by 200. So, I mean, it adds up very quickly on a square. But when the 138.1, is it, of bylaw 200 calls for equal-sized lots across a boundary, and it is just a boundary. There's no green space between the lots. There's no road. There's no anything. It's just a fence. At this point, it's just a fence. Having a lot that size immediately adjacent is, not just a small, but a major change in space, if you will. The reason that most of us moved to Charleswood in our past has been the space. We've come to Charleswood and we're living in Charleswood, continue to live in Charleswood for a long time because of the space, essentially, that we like the setbacks. The setbacks on the houses are, 35 to 40, some of them 45 feet. Even the R1L is 20 feet. R1M at 15 feet is just, when you walk down the street, you've got these buildings sitting at roughly 80 feet apart on and like 40 feet either side of you. You walk down a normal street in Charleswood, they're 120 feet back to the house. That's a big difference in space. I mean, it's got very little to do with the dimension. It's the feeling that you have when you're living in that area. You've got some space. There's green space. There's distance between the houses. Even with R1L, you have 4 feet allowable between the lot property line to the building. Most of the buildings in Charleswood, there are very few of them, have anything less than 20 feet between the buildings. In other words, 10 foot on the side yard. And most of them are more like 30 to 40 feet between the buildings. It's a big change to go to an R1L from normal Charleswood, if you will. But with the average lot size of 5,900, they qualify or would qualify for an R1L, and I think that that's, it shouldn't even be a consideration to use R1M. The maximum coverage at 45% is really just to give the homeowner or the lot owner enough space to build a decent size of a house. But if you put that on a 5,900 square foot lot, you can put a 2,600 square foot bungalow on there plus a double garage. and still be within that 40% limit. You compare that to a normal lot in Charleswood that is, what, 8%, 10%? Some are even 12%, some of the smaller lots, in terms of the space, the percentage of the total space that the house and garage occupy. So from my perspective, 40% is higher than what fits in with Charleswood. I would much prefer to see something less than that, 35%. Next slide, please. The maximum story on the R1M is 2,600 square feet. That's with a 5,900 square foot lot plus a double garage, and 2,360 with a double garage on a single story. That's R1L. Now that 2,360 you recognize could be made into a two-story, making it as much as 4,600 square feet. Now I doubt that that's going to be applied very often, but recognize that that is one huge house, or potentially a huge house, on a lot that is only a quarter the size of my lot. The front yard setbacks, I mentioned 15 feet and 20 feet, that gives you the feel as you drive through the space or walk through the space. And again, with the R1E, the limit is 30 feet. And in Charleswood, I don't know of any houses that have a 30-foot setback. They're all 35, 38, 40. So I've requested, and to their credit, they have given concession here this evening to change the zoning application to be an R1L. I think that's a move in the right direction. I'm willing to accept that. The percentage of coverage, lot coverage, I would still prefer to see 35%. The rear setback is quite another thing. This, for me, at least the houses for me on these new lots, will not be behind my rear yard. They're going to be beside my house. They are essentially the equivalent of a rear, a side yard. Their backyards will be side yard for me. And my house is situated approximately 15 feet to 20 feet, somewhere in that order, from my side boundary. Moving the house minimum 30 feet away, I guess, would be a whole lot better than it could be. But, you know, they've got lots that are 115 feet deep. If you take 20 feet off the front, you're left with 95. How big is the house going to be? It's not going to be more than 40 feet deep. So they should be able to give me 55 foot on the rear setback. So I would ask for a 50 foot rear setback on at least on those lots, first four lots on the south end of that block number one development. Those four lots and others are going to be speaking to the issue with regard to lot area. I'll leave that one for a little bit. Can you give me the next slide there, please? Storm drainage. We've had three stories now as to what's going to be provided in the way of site drainage for the site. The best one that I got was yesterday from Adam Scharf, and that one made sense. So I guess I'm going to back off on that and say let's see the detailed design because it should work. If they are connecting to a sewer that is deep enough to allow them to do it, it shouldn't be a problem. The point that Don Hester made here a few minutes ago about possibly being a dry pond is definitely not acceptable. Clay will desiccate if allowed to dry out and become permeable. And I don't know how deep the clay is there. I suspect it's rather deep, but I don't know that. I haven't seen a geotechnical report. But we do not want desiccated clay in the bottom of that pond. And so a dry pond is not acceptable. But if it is a pond where the outflow from the land drainage sewers coming into it are you know, six feet, 7 feet below the surface, then it's acceptable. The wastewater sewer, they apparently now, instead of going up Community Row, are going to be hooking onto the sewer at the end of Glenbush. Again, which apparently proves out from a hydraulic standpoint, but there's quite a number of us on Glenbush Street that have never installed backflow preventers on their sewer discharge just because we're at the top of the sewer. If there's nobody above you, there's pretty little chance of getting flooded. There is always the risk of a plug occurring farther down and somebody pressurizing the sewer, but it's pretty remote. I mean, so there's about a $3,000 touch that each of us that haven't got backflow preventers are going to have to incur to protect ourselves against this new development if it gets hooked onto Glenbush. My preference would be if they were to go out the other side of their development, right onto Community Row, and go up Community Row to Bettsworth and hook right onto the same sewer that the one that goes out Glenbush hooks onto, except that the one going out Glenbush goes to the east end of Glenbush, up Hearthstone to Roblin, and then all the way along Roblin to Community Row pumping station. So, I mean, it's getting to the same place, just a far more direct route. In fact, it would travel approximately 7 city blocks less to get to pumping station. Either case, that one can be made to work. It's just a matter of money. So, I mean, it's a cost to me. And the others on Glenbush, but like I say, we can fix that with money. The storm drainage, providing they do in fact use that outfall that they're talking about that gives them the elevation on the invert of the sewer line, then they will be able to provide swales from the existing lots, backyards, and not be an impediment to the drainage out of the backyards, the existing backyards. Right now, that area they're planning on develop essentially is our storage pond. And the water runs off of our lots eventually. I mean, it does pool a little bit. But off of our lot and into that field. And then it flows south down that field and across my backyard, Hutton's backyard, and two or three others, and goes out onto Glenbush.
To go through a lot of drainage plans and that sorts. I mean, is that something that would, I mean, you've talked a lot about the drainage issues and concerns about that. I mean, obviously there's some standards that are going to be followed. So,
obviously which?
I'm just saying there's obviously some lot, you know, drainage kind of plans that are going to have to go through. So,
yes. Assuming that those are going to be acceptable, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
The last slide there, please.
Are we close to the end?
This is the last slide.
Okay.
No traffic study quantifying impact. I think that's been raised in other discussions here tonight. But Glenbush, like most of the yards in Charleswood, does not have any sub-base. In fact, well, in other words, the tar, which is an inch and a half thick, sits on top of essentially a clay compacted topsoil base. And as soon as you put a heavy load on it, it's destroyed. So that Glenbush, I expect, unless the developer takes some initiative, is going to be destroyed during their construction just by the vehicles moving in over it. They can avert that, and Adam has undertaken to make efforts to do that by directing all of that inflowing traffic, heavy traffic, down to come at into that area down Scotswood. Scotswood people won't be too appreciative, but at least the road will still be intact when they're finished. But Hearthstone is similarly constructed between the Glenbush or the Hart Trail and Wilkes Avenue. It'll be destroyed during construction, and really I don't know how you could avert that. The only thing that could happen is the city or the developer of that area. It won't be Sharf, I don't think, because he would have to come out of the precinct levy. Could essentially rebuild that road before they get started and still have a road left when they're finished. So replacement of Hearthstone should be figured on as a part of this construction process, whether it's undertaken by the city or whomever. Certainly prior to phase two construction, and Glenn Bush should be recorded. The current condition should be recorded photographically before we start, so that the city has something to compare to after construction is underway. Any questions?
Any questions?
Yes.
Shoot.
Thank you for your presentation and for your dedication to the community. I just want to go back to the earliest part of your presentation when you talked about lot size. And when I look at, I didn't realize before today where you actually lived. And you have a very large lot, but not even five doors down are lots that are 7,200 square feet, 9,200, 11,000, and yours is, you know, on the larger side at 21,000. These lots would be comparable to what's already at the other end of your street. I don't know if you realize that. There's five lots.
There's five lots that are 20,000 square feet on my end of Glenbush.
Yeah, there's four in around the same size, and then near the end of Glenbush and Pepperloaf, they're around 75 to 92 is what they're ranging. 9,200
okay.
square feet.
Yeah, it's been divided in half, yes.
Well, there's one, two, three, four, five in that range, six in that range. And then the ones on Vanscoy that would back onto this proposed development are only somewhat larger in that they're maybe around, 9,700.
Yes.
I think the largest one looks like a double lot, so...
Well, they were calculated by somebody that wrote the description.
Well, we have the city's website on the actual property assessed sites. So, just curious if you knew that.
Well, there's one on Vanscoy that's in the same order of magnitude as mine. It's a lot that did not get divided. But you're right. The lots on Glenbush are among the biggest in the area.
Yeah.
But they are immediately adjacent to this development area, and Section 138 of Bylaw 200 would tell me that those three and a half lots beside me should be combined into one.
And, you know, judging by what, the assessed values are, I would anticipate that with the prices of lots going for what they're going for, that these would be at a comparable, if not higher, assessed values. So it wouldn't diminish the property values in the neighborhood. I would be very concerned.
I'm not worried about that. No, okay. I don't expect. In fact, all these tiny lots is going to make my lot more valuable.
Okay. Appreciate all your comments and very well researched, and do appreciate the fact that there's bigger lots in Charleswood and you've got to blend into that area, but. You know, to be fair, I mean, you look at areas like Waverly West, and most of those lots are around 40 feet, and that's generally just, I appreciate the fact that Charleswood has bigger lots. I'm not sure 52-foot lots are, you know, I would call tiny, though.
You're not sure that if they are...
Well, I don't know if I would consider a 52-foot width for lots as a tiny... properties. Like,
it's
those
all
are
relative.
Still pretty good properties. It just
it's all relative, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're well, actually 52 at 115 is like 52 by 120 was a fairly common lot size through River Heights and up in the Maples and so on. Yeah. So I mean it's a reasonable lot size.
Yeah. But if you're saying like, you've got a big lot, like you've got a lot of 100, you know, by 200, right?
I mean, yes.
And you've got to make sure it blends into the nature of that area. But in my area, for instance, in some parts of Old St. James, we're doing 25-foot lots. And I appreciate that's the nature of some of the older areas that are there.
My first house was 25
my
by
point,
100.
You know, and I think actually, could honestly, you ask me honestly, I think that the 40-foot lots that Waverly West has, to a certain extent, are a little bit too small, in my opinion. But I guess I'm just having a hard time fathoming the 52-foot lots are, you know, small or tiny. Like, I don't think it's going to necessarily impact.
It's all relative, and the bylaw is supposed to create a situation where the transition is graduated. In this case, it's not graduated. It's going from essentially perhaps excessive by some people's definition, to a new standard.
Yeah.
That new standard is not in keeping with Charleswood as a whole. Okay. That's all I'm saying. And it's a very different feel. It's a different look. You've got potential for buildings that are at least as large as what are built there now, situated on on lots that are enforcing the building to be much closer together and a much higher percentage of the lot area. And that's what I'm concerned about.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
No. Thank you. Thank you, Emma. Walter, are you next?
Good evening. My name is Walter Cherney. My wife and I are the owners of 64 Vanscoy Road, which adjoins the Area 10 development. Next slide. So there's a number of issues that I have with respect to the Area 10 development as proposed. I'm only going to talk to two. First is, I believe there are feasible development alternatives that deviate to a lesser degree from the special boundary conditions of zoning bylaw 200/2006 for the proposed lot widths and areas of Block 1 of Area 10. The second issue is reasons for recommending the approval of the above variance as stated in the administrative report in the area of injurious effect of the zoning bylaw on the applicant's property appears to be related to economic viability, which is not, from my perspective, been substantiated with financial details to validate this recommendation. So, next slide. So, supporting information, I'll show the attachments to this on the slideshow here briefly, but attachment one shows a feasible alternative to the proposed Area 1 development with Block 1 lots in compliance with the bylaw 200/2006. Which requires that the width and square footage of the proposed lots not be less than the average lot width and square footage of existing adjacent developed lots. Next slide. So forgive the artwork here. I didn't have the access to a CAD workstation, so I just used a ruler with a scale and a red pen. But shown here are the adjacent lots, which I've ticked off. I simply calculated the average lot width and depth and came up with 69.5 feet of width and an average area of 12,675. And I simply drew lots adjacent to those Vanscoy lots that meet those criteria. And the key point here is that the proposed lots are 77% of the average width of the adjacent lots, so roughly three quarters of the adjacent lots, and the average area is 60%, so a little less than half of the adjacent lots. So that's what's shown there. Next slide. So what I did here was I eliminated what I call the outliers, the statistical outliers, the lot on, I think it's 18, the double width lot, the triangle lot, and then the lot on Glenbush. And I calculated the average area of the remaining lots and the average width and the average area, and it's 58.8 feet, average width, average area is 10,482. So that's shown there. Next slide. Using the same area, all I did was I aligned the lots in Area 10 to the existing lots on Vanscoy. And next slide. In this case, I kept the same property lines as proposed, but extended the lot widths to the depth of 178 feet, which is equivalent to the adjacent lots on Vanskoy. So again, these are all feasible alternatives from my perspective. And finally, attachment 5. What I've done here at the bottom, I've taken the proposed lot configuration and eliminated the decrease in depth at the south end of the proposed development, so it's consistent along the whole length. Again, a lesser deviation from the requirements of the bylaw. So, from my perspective, these are all feasible alternatives, and they're shown here. Next slide. So, some additional supporting information. A condition of approval of a variance is the minimal modification of a zoning bylaw required to relieve the injurious effect of the zoning bylaw on the applicant's property. Next slide. So in the administrative report for this application, basically the, and I've done some wordsmithing here, but the variance, the report states that the variance is the minimum modification of the special boundary conditions to relieve the injurious effect. Next slide. The previous configuration that was presented, or what was to be presented last year, the administrative report stated the same conclusion, that the variance is a minimum modification of the special boundary conditions. So I'm at a loss to understand how what was proposed last year was the minimum change necessary to remove the injurious effect, and now a revised proposal, which has larger lot widths, is now deemed as the minimum required to remove the injurious effect. Next slide. So, while the administrative report, DAV 13-17-8045, does not clearly state, from my perspective, what the injurious effect of the zoning bylaw imposes on the applicant, the report does state on page 16 that adjacent lots are from another era when development costs were substantially lower, making the creation of larger lots economically viable. So, if the argument of economic viability is to be used to justify the approval of this variance, then the variance request should be substantiated with disclosure of financial details to validate that justification. If we don't, then I don't know how the recommendation or the determination is being made. I don't know how a scientific or logical approach to a recommendation could be made, and it leaves me only to believe that was either a subjective decision or a decision based on whatever the developers had proposed. So, next slide. So I got a request. Before I do that, just have a couple of more comments. The report makes reference, the administrative report makes reference to Area 10 being judged against lots developed in the 40s and 50s and 60s. It talks about the lots being developed in another area of development when Charleswood was not part of the city. I didn't see anywhere in the bylaw any statement that the bylaw applies to everybody except Charleswood. I didn't see anywhere where it says it doesn't apply to everybody except lots developed in the 40s and 50s and 60s. And I certainly didn't see where it says it's applied to Waverly the West and not to Charleswood. So what I'm asking is for the committee to reject the above subdivision and rezoning and variance requests, as there are feasible alternatives that comply with or deviate to a lesser degree to the bylaw. And I request that the committee request disclosure of financial details if economic viability is presented as justification for the approval of the variance. Any questions?
would do. So you mean about financial disclosure? What are you referring to? The valuations of the land, what it's going to sell for? Is that what you're...
I'm trying to understand the justification for the approval of variance. And it appears as if it's implying that it's for... economic viability. So my question is, how can you make a determination based on economic viability without any data to justify it?
Did you ask the developer this, for this information?
For financial details?
Yeah.
No.
How come?
I didn't think to ask him. I didn't expect he would provide it to me, quite honestly.
Did you discuss your plans with the developer?
Which plans?
Attachment 1, 2, 3, 4. Did you give these to the developer?
Yeah, actually, a bit of background. Last year, after I think the...
Sir, you have to speak at the microphone or it doesn't record you.
Adam Scharf did approach me to talk about concerns last year. After the June 27th hearing here regarding the precinct plan, he contacted me on the 23rd of August requesting a meeting. I met with him and I actually presented Attachment 3 as something that I felt I could live with. I did state, however, that I was speaking on my own behalf. I met with another neighbor, and I stated that I wasn't representing or speaking on behalf of the residents of Vanscoy, but I did present Attachment 3 as something that I felt would be acceptable to me.
You gave him Attachment 3, so that's the only one that he would have seen?
Correct.
And what was his response?
He took that away, and he said that he worked with the owners of the properties to try and come up with an alternative, and he actually presented prior to the 9th of September, I think it was, maybe it was the 15th of October, he presented the plan that he's presenting here.
Okay, on Attachment 1 and 2, you have the check marks on 1 and the X's on 2. What do those mean?
The check marks on the Attachment 1 are the properties that I use to calculate an average lot width and lot area, because I felt that those were the adjoining properties, and those would be the properties that would be applicable under the bylaw. Attachment 2, I excluded some of them because I felt those were statistical outliers in terms of the property sizes.
So the X's are ones that you excluded?
Excluded.
They are larger?
And because they're larger.
And not in keeping. Okay. So you may recall that this was at a hearing here, September 9th, and the applicants withdrew. Why did you not discuss these other two options with them at that point?
I have no answer for that.
Okay, thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Walter. We appreciate the trouble you went to putting your report together.
So. Okay.
Good, thank you. Next up, Darlene Boucher.
Hello, my name is Darlene Boucher, longtime resident of Charleswood, and I do not live in the area impacted here, but my property does back on to Area 11. This is the first sub-area that is north of the Hart Trail that is being developed in the precinct, so this is sort of going to set the rules for the rest of the development, so that's why I wanted to address a few issues. First of all, the drainage. I'm really not sure what is meant by this a dry pond, but I don't think I like it. But this just came out of nowhere. Like, this was I learned about this today, as I learned about a lot of things today. There apparently were three drainage options. I'm not sure that I understand them, but I wish I knew which drainage option they were planning on going with, it, because it's not clear in the plan what they're planning on going with. The traffic on Glenbush. How many of the councillors have driven down Glenbush? It's like it's a mess. It's a mess when a motorcycle goes down it. And there was not a traffic study done for this area, for Area 10, because it was sort of included in the general precinct plan, but nowhere at that point was it ever considered that Glenbush would become the access to that. So there has never been any study that included Glenbush, to my knowledge. You know, I really appreciate the young man who has consulted with the neighbors recently and has brought forth amendments to the plan based on that consultation. And you know what? That's what Qualico did. But the difference is that Qualico has been consulting for 3 years and revising. And they made last-minute changes, but those were in a context that he had already developed. They had already developed with the neighbors. These last-minute changes were made. Yes, they did. They did consult with the neighbors, but not frequently, not recently. And the plan that came forward was for this public hearing was essentially the same plan that they had put forward last June and last September, and was improperly posted, I'm assuming, because some of the lands were improperly identified as being R1M and they are R1RE or something like that. There was that just to the east or to the west of the public reserve backing on the long lots or deep lots on community. I think that was incorrectly posted, and that's why this did not come forward before. But the plan was essentially the same. So if they consulted with their neighbors, why did they not change anything between June 27th and February 4th? They changed things February the 2nd, I think. You know? So the consultation, it needs to continue. I think a dialogue needs to continue. In other infill developments in Charleswood, mention has always been made of a shadow plan. I would love to see a booklet of the Charleswood shadow plans. They are very shadowy and hard to come by. Was there a shadow plan for this area? And what did the shadow plan say? We have to remember that when people built their houses and bought their houses, they expected the development beside them would continue in somewhat a similar vein to what they were already in. And much has been made of the fact that this development is very, very different than the neighbors. You know, when you are building, when you've got agricultural property beside you and you are building a residential development, you don't expect it's going to stay agricultural forever. But you do expect that it might be similar to your type of residence. One of the things we had to do when we built our lot, we had to have a 40-foot setback from the street. Now, I noticed that R1E, now you only require a 25-foot setback. Let me tell you, I did not want a 40-foot setback, but I had to do it. I had to follow the rules. That has implications for what is happening now. When Al Roberts' property was built, it was part of the Roblin Park development that was a post-war property. They had to have a half-acre lot. That was the requirement. So lots were built, with the rules that were in place at the time. So some consideration has to be made here. I think the developer has missed an opportunity to configure the lots differently. He's sizing all of the lots in the division or in the subdivision the same size, and I think that there are room for some smaller lots than what he has put. The only lots that are impacted by this development are the ones that are backing onto Vanscoy and Glenbush. All of the other lots are either insulated by the Hart Trail, the Public Reserve, or the deep lots on community. If they decide to subdivide their lots, they are deciding their fate. And the other lots on community are already quite not deep lots, they're shallower lots. So the only lots are those on Vanscoy. Another opportunity that is missed is the configuration of the lake and the lack or the few number of lake lots. Lake lots are always the prime property in a development. He could have more lots along the lake and obtain his margin of profit there. And I think the house on Glenbush, at the end of Glenbush, some consideration has to be made for that. Four two-story neighbors overlooking your backyard is just, or your side yard, your house is just not right. Reconfigure it, make it only bungalows that could go there, change the setback, do something. And I guess in the end, I'm not sure what I'd be agreeing to or disagreeing to here. Because the young man said zoning, well, whatever the neighbors want. Well, you know, R1M, R1L. Well, what am I saying yes to, or what are you saying yes to? Well, maybe a dry pond. Could be. Maybe not. You know, whatever. We think we're going with this drainage here. Well, we're going to change the setback for these neighbors to this and these neighbors to, well, what exactly are you changing there? I guess there's just too much uncertainty. It's just not quite ready. You know, they're so close to getting it right this time. This has never come forward before. It can be held over, and they can have an opportunity to have meaningful consultation with their neighbors and get them on board. Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah. On the consultation piece that you spoke about, so you talked about how much consultation was done by Qualico.
Yes.
Now, I hope that in your mind you understand that Qualico drove the entire precinct plan.
Yes.
They are the majority of the landowners. And in fact, the members of Seekville were one of the larger groups that formed a subgroup, I guess, of four others, of major landowners. So, you know, they were involved and they provided their input and they heard and they came to all of the consultations that, although seemingly were organized by Qualico, actually impact the entire area. So I just want to be clear on that.
No, I understand that.
Okay.
You know, and I also understand that they are not a large organization with all the sophisticated research departments that Qualico has. But you know what? It doesn't cost anything to sit down with your neighbors and say, well, what do you think? Can you come up with something? Give us some suggestions, as Walter, you know, did give them some suggestions. But they need to, as Donovan said, massage it a little bit more. And I think it's just a little bit premature. And you know what? I think they came late to the consulting with their neighbors part, and I think now they realize the value of it. And I think that a win-win situation is possible.
Just a quick question. You know, obviously the contentious part is the one side of the
area.
Yeah,
that's all.
You know, to be fair, though, you know, is the concern more people are worried that the valuation of their own land is going to be reduced by this?
I don't think so because, well, I hope people understand that generally the value of land doesn't go down, even though storm and rage, it generally doesn't. You know, I think that they think that their pleasure in their property is going to go down. Mm-hmm. If you've got two or three or four neighbors along your fence line with two or three or four different fences along there, and it changes things. Now, their pleasure in their property is not going to continue to have a prairie vista. They know that.
Yeah. Because I do get the fact, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to have neighbors wherever you are, people are rezoning. I guess my point is I'm not 100% sure. You know, I get the fact that they're smaller. I mean, there's obviously the dimensions and that sorts, but I'm not sure they're that much smaller. It's going to impact the views. And, I mean, you also made reference to the fact of, you know, someone should be bungalow. Well, you know, to be fair, they're allowed to build at a certain height, right?
Same thing with people. Yeah, absolutely.
So
and I guess
we can't just say, you know, build a bungalow.
Oh, I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying, you know what, for that at 223 Glenbush, that property, just come up with something.
Right.
You know, work with the homeowner to come up with something, and because I think it's possible.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Victoria McDonald.
Hi. Actually, you know, probably same type of thing. I'm towards the end, so most of the points that I'm going to raise have been said. But I did want to zone in on a couple things I heard tonight. As a talk about the dry retention pond. It's the first time I've heard about a dry retention pond. And after going through all the machinations with Qualico talking about retention ponds and naturalized retention ponds and how they enhance an area and public reserve, and in fact, you know, because, and Eric said, and I said this before, it enhances the pedestrians' experience walking by the retention ponds. I just can't imagine a dry retention pond, and how that would be aesthetically pleasing, how that would be enhanced public reserve and as someone's experience walking around the retention pond, nor can I imagine someone wanting to buy a $400,000 house, because that's what they cost when they back onto the retention ponds, overlooking a dry retention pond. So I'd like some more information about how that's possible and why they think a dry retention pond is beneficial to the area. The other thing is, and I quickly note, Mr. Vogan had put forth the 100% of the difference between the water level of the retention pond and the sidewalk. He wanted to be given full credit for public reserve, 100%. And it was granted. And that's, and then, of course, the very next developers say, we would like same consideration as Qualico. And I think the big thing about all of that is how quickly precedent gets set. And one builds on the other and builds on the other. And so when we're talking about a mix of housing, particularly adjacent to larger lots, and I understand that there has to be some, you know, there, it is an area in transition, but the decisions that are made are going to set precedent for all those areas north of the Hart Trail. So that's area 8, 9, 10, and 11. So, and people will cite exactly what's happening here tonight. And it's a slippery slope. It's an incremental erosion in terms of setting precedent, and I think that needs to be taken into consideration when they're talking about lot sizes and what's going in there. Really, that's about it. That's all I have to say in addition to what people have said before. Do you have any questions?
Thank you.
Okay.
I had asked not to speak, but I was wondering if I could.
Sure, absolutely. Just identify yourself.
My name is Lori Wilson-Cherney, and I'm from 64 Vanscoy. Just in regards to something that was asked of my husband as to why we hadn't conferred with the developers since our last meeting, as one of the other speakers talked about, at the last time we were here, there was a lot of talking going on in outside about what changes the developers had made, and we had said, great, good start. And it was very clearly indicated to us that that was all the move that they were going to make. We understood there was maybe some posturing going on. So we said, well, that's, you know, it's a great start. You know, if you can that easily make some of those lots deeper, you can make the whole row deeper. And that's one of the, that was the one that my husband had actually originally given to them, was just saying, make the whole row deeper. Anyway, so in the meantime, it was deferred, it didn't come back, and we talked as neighbors over the winter, I wonder when it's coming, and the next thing we know, there's the sign up. So I have to admit that we said, why were we not contacted? We thought it would have been more appropriate to discuss it before the sign went up. So they did know, they knew we did not fully support that. And they chose, we weren't contacted, so, and then the short time frame just made it happen as to why we did not contact them any further. So that's what happened. Okay? Thank you.
Do we have any more speakers? Any more
information?
We have some information. Yes, we do. Here we go. We've got one. Verna Hare, at 264 Coventry. No? Okay, she's not here. Okay. At this point, you folks are finished? Yes? Okay. Okay. All right, we'll invite Adam and Mr. Hester to come on back and close the circle here.
So, although again, I guess I'd like to make a couple of points in rebuttal. First of all, this issue of dry ponds. I threw that out as a possibility. I could take it completely off the table, but I want people to know in a similar situation with soils and so on, we've designed beautiful park spaces that have multi-uses, that have dry ponds used for multiple other uses, recreational and so on, particularly in Regina. But it is a possibility. So, you know, we're prepared to do wetlands, we're prepared to do a wet pond, but that was just something I threw out mistakenly to say that there are other options to looking at that particular drainage space. Drainage, I think, I don't know that it needs clarification. We will do what needs to be done to make sure, to follow the city bylaws, make sure that drainage does not go on to other folks' lots, the neighbors' lots, that it goes to a stormwater detention basin so that the amount of water going out of the development is fitting city standards in terms of the amount of runoff that can come from that particular area and move through the system. The lots on Vanscoy, I did a quick count from my plan. There are 12 lots on Vanscoy, including one very large double lot and a pilot that back on to 15 lots that are the developer's lots. So the developer has 15 versus 12. You're not going to have three lots behind each of the Vanscoy lots. You might at most have one and a quarter or one and a fraction, unless you're the double lot, which will have probably two and a bit. So we're trying to fit both the lot width, and we've gone to the extent of trying to really crunch the lake and the front top end of the development to basically make sure that the lot depths are going toward accommodating the neighbors. Keep in mind, when I first did some work in Ridgewood South, the area south of the Hart Trail was defined as the Ridgewood South precinct. The areas north were defined as infill, and we looked at design accordingly. Now we're working with a precinct plan that has certain requirements, and that precinct plan governs the areas north of the Hart Trail up to Rannoch. And so we're trying to, number one, accommodate the requirements of that precinct plan, and also, and a variance is a good idea because it allows discussion with the neighbor, encourages discussion with the neighbors and trying to find some reasonable compromises. I think we've tried to go in a reasonable direction to recognizing that people are used to a certain lot depth, they're used to a certain, Charleswood atmosphere or living lifestyle. That's what we're trying to recognize, and we're, I believe, going toward that in terms of the way we're designing this development. And I guess really, other than answering a few questions, regarding the zoning, obviously one group would like us to move things closer to the street so that we can have a little more room to give more backyard, and another group would like us to have the Charleswood image. We would like to stick, I think, with the existing, I believe my client would like to stick with the existing zoning. We would like to not have to repost this and go through another iteration because of that issue. We will be trying to create, though, even though we are looking at R1M, to create a reasonable front yard space, because there's a marketing issue here for the developers. They want to sell their lots, and they don't want it to look, they want it to look more like Charleswood than like a very tight development. So I think just in that regard, they'll be going toward the trying to create something that's a balance between providing a decent space behind the houses to reflect what's happening on Vanscoy, but also to create an image for their development that is consistent with the Charleswood image. Any other points? I think that's about all I have to say with regard. I'm trying to think of other points that were brought up there, but we have an experienced engineering group. They have been working in the Charleswood area for a decade or more. There will be a lot of things that they'll have to do in detail and provide to the city. but that will be done according to the city standards.
Yeah, thank you for that. I'm wondering, a few points were raised, and some of them will be questions that we'll need to address with the public administration. But can you tell us what changed from June 27th to today in the plan? I know it was said at the outset, but could you tell us exactly some of the aspects that were changed?
Sure. We had the lots we had on backing, the primary changes are these. The first thing is we realigned the road and very severely crunched the lake, tried to reconfigure it a bit and push it together to develop a road that would basically provide us, north-south road, the main one, that would provide us with lots that were deeper, backing primarily on the lots that were in an east-west direction on Vanscoy. So we enlarged those from 115 feet to 140 feet, 25-foot addition to those lots that got taken off lots internal to the development. That's number one. We did not make the lots wider where we were basically backing on that pilot and some city land that was in there, nor on the lots that were flankage on Glenbush. We also increased the sizes. Again, this is going toward the Charleswood model. I recognize, and I think it's a valid point, that we could have had smaller lots internal to the development and maybe been a little bit more consistent with the precinct plan. We actually enlarged some of the lots along the, I guess it's Street C, so that we would have, and a lot of them are like 16.45 meters wide, so we'd have more of a sort of, a Charleswood look to this development, reflecting the old Charleswood, if you want to put it that way. We added in that period of time as well, we made it very clear that we were looking at an active transportation connection between the lake area and Rannoch and the Hart Trail, and slightly enlarged the green space to reflect the city's requirements for PR that was backing on the Hart Trail in particular. I'm trying to see if there were other things that were adjusted, but I believe those are the key adjustments.
Don, so these were all in response to what you had heard at the public meetings?
In fact, well, I should give Adam credit. It was more of what we heard at the public meeting. We made some minor adjustments. Adam talked further and got input from some of the people that are here, brought it to us, and that's when we actually, in August, and September, I guess, we basically adjusted that road in response to the residents' further comments about what they would like to see in terms of a greater sort of distance or separation between themselves and the new lots that would be going in. And I think we've heard that the valuation of these lots would likely be higher given the kind of servicing and the kind of streets and landscaping proposed than some of the surrounding lots. So in effect, we're raising the bar, not lowering it in terms of people's economic impacts. The other thing I'd like to point out is we also, or my clients, are also part of the precinct plan transportation levy, and there's a fairly significant amount of money coming out of this development that needs to be generated in order to pay for that transportation levy. So on a per acre basis, there's a lump sum that will be paying for major roads south of the Hart Trail, none of which, well, potentially they are not going to be providing as much benefit to this development as they would be to some of the areas that are further south.
Okay. I have three more questions. Mr. Turney provided a report, and he had a number of attachments in it. And, you know, I would have to say that given that you haven't seen attachments 1 and 2, that they weren't provided to you, that, you know, I'll move right to 3. And when your client reviewed 3, or maybe perhaps you did from an engineering perspective, did you give this some consideration as a feasible alternative, or have you not seen it?
See, I've seen three, and I would have to see it on your sheet to know if I'd what it looked like, actually. Sorry. Maybe I'll just...
Well, was it provided to you? No, but before tonight?
Yeah, if they were the 180 deep lots, I think we did see that, but we were... Of course, there needs to be obviously a major adjustment in a plan like this to the lake, because you need a little bit more space around the lake.
Okay, my question is, had you seen this before, or the other ones?
I had heard about it and understood that that was sort of a request. We tried to find what I would consider a compromise between what we're looking at in terms of the precinct plan and what we had before, and what was sort of being requested as a fairly consistent with Vanscoy set of lots.
Okay. In terms of the property at 223 Glenbush, I can appreciate that's the corner southwest, just back, yep. Its side would back on, would have three or four homes backing into it. I guess I'm wondering, for privacy considerations, particularly where the house is there any landscaping that could be done to... Sorry? To sort of improve the sight lines, I suppose.
Sure,
improve privacy.
I'm a planner and a landscape architect, and there are species of trees you could plant. There are things you could do to mitigate the fact that you'd have houses beside you. Another option would be, and that's completely, I mean, this is just speculation, but you could also sort of suggest that there would be requirements for certain fences to be put up. There's a number of things that could be done in terms of buffering, I guess. Another thing might be simply to also regulate the size of the house or the height of the house in those particular lots. That would be another mitigation, I suppose.
Under the zoning agreement. One more.
It's like parking spaces. Paul.
Yeah.
Councillor Hannon. It's like parking spaces. You have some small car spaces potentially. In this case, you might have some requirements related to those particular lots to mitigate the...
Sorry, I missed that last part.
Well, you know how you have small car spaces in some parking lots? In a particular case like this, another mitigation would be to limit the house size or footprint.
Small house, I hear you.
Smaller, not small.
I have one more item, and I'm not sure if this is for you or for Adam to answer, but somewhere in here, and this committee made the recommendation 2.5 years ago that something in this city, this part of town, be named after Mr. Jim Ernst, who was a former city councillor and a former MLA. And I'm wondering if there's an opportunity. I know the Charleswood Historical Society has put forward a list of proposed names within Ridgewood, but is there somewhere in among the park space that we could have something commemorative to Mr. Ernst?
I would be instructed to say yes to that, certainly.
Okay.
I'd like to make one other comment, and that is that I understand that Adam Scharf did make an effort in the last few weeks to contact some of the other people and was unsuccessful in getting in touch with them. So there have been ongoing efforts beyond the ones that I pointed out in my presentation to try to connect with the neighbors.
You have a question? No. I've got one, Don. It was mentioned that Glenbush is at best a modestly constructed street, and that construction equipment and whatever you would be using, particularly to do the foundations and the basements, would if they came in on it or exited by it, would be left in some wreckage. Would you be prepared to have the contractor make sure that the exit would be via Rannoch as opposed to...
That's completely feasible. Yeah, we've done that. We're a very large engineering firm, and we've done in other circumstances where it's appropriate.
So,
and if that's considered appropriate, that could be done.
Okay, well, that would be appreciated. Okay, no further comments, questions? No? Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Hester. We appreciate you sticking with us. Go ahead. Yeah.
I guess my first question is around traffic. Has any traffic study been conducted recently that incorporates Glenbush?
No, we have not received a traffic study for this area yet.
When was this one? Or
The city had done a speed study on Glenbush, but not this portion, the portion that has the speed humps. That would have been just prior to the speed humps going in. I can pull it up now.
At what point would we consider doing a traffic study on Glenbush? You know, let's assume some construction happens here and some homes are built. I mean, is it not going to increase the volume of traffic on Glenbush? And is it within acceptable levels, I guess?
Right now, the portion between Hearthstone and Pepperloaf as of June 2010 is at 300 vehicles per day. So there's a significant amount of capacity left on. There's a lot of capacity left on the street. At 300 vehicles.
Road is in terrible condition. Where is it in the priorities? And I don't know. I know traffic is your area. I don't know if you would know where.
It would have to be a local improvement to upgrade it.
In terms of this whole notion of a dry pond, can somebody comment on that terminology? I would think that given the last application by Qualico, that we would want the ponds to be consistent throughout this precinct, but I'm open to opinions here. Somebody?
So that's what that's what's specified in the report, that it be a naturalized stormwater retention basin, which would be similar in look and feel to what Qualico is building.
Okay. And so the notion of it being called a dry pond, what is that?
A dry pond, there's actually no water in it. So, and there's examples throughout the city, mostly on private property, where they have them.
I think I heard that most people don't want that. So
yeah,
how do we
and it's
ensure
not something
it's
that,
not going
it's
to
not
be
something that we're planning to accept. Okay. So.
This issue of the setback change from 25 to 30 feet on lot 16 down to 22, does this make sense? And can we have some comment on it?
Well, of course, it's up to the developer and his discussions with the neighbors in being a good neighbor and trying to meet some of their concerns. The zoning bylaw requires a 25-foot rear yard. However, if you were to build an accessory structure, you could build it within 2 feet of the rear property line. They have already made the lots quite a bit deeper than they first proposed, from 115 feet deep to 140 feet deep on much of Street A. So you could put that request for a 30-foot rear yard with no structures allowed within it in the zoning agreement, but I think it would be quite punitive myself.
What kinds of, would we see applications coming back to a hearing for people who would want to change that, or can that be changed?
If it's in the zoning agreement, you would have to do a zoning agreement amendment to change that. And you could see applications come back to community committee on a lot-by-lot basis to correct that. Often people will buy lots and look at the zoning bylaw and see what the requirements are. Sometimes they don't look into zoning agreements and things and realize there's more stringent requirements. And then, you know, that can catch people off guard.
So are you recommending it be changed?
The public service wouldn't recommend increasing the rear yard. all the properties zoned throughout the city are typically meet the zoning bylaw of a 25-foot rear yard. From the public administration perspective, from a planning perspective, I wouldn't recommend to the community committee to change that. If I thought it was a good idea, I would have had it in my report as a condition.
Okay. A number of concerns were raised about drainage in the area. Can anyone comment on that?
I'll let the engineers from land development comment on that.
I'm rather familiar with Charleswood drainage, being a resident of Charleswood, and I understand the concerns related. Notwithstanding, the Water and Waste Department is very, and there's very clear language in the report requiring that land drainage be properly accommodated, and plans of subdivision servicing drawings are submitted and scrutinized. And what happens in most cases in an infill development like this is that catch basins will be strategically placed at the back lot lines of the new development to pick up drainage from the rear of the adjacent properties. I can only think it will improve drainage in the neighborhood. Yes.
Okay. That's all my questions.
Well, that concludes our items of 4 and 5. All the information has been presented. Who will be making a motion? Councillor Havixberg.
We're just checking on one more thing.
Okay.
I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
And just a comment that I believe that, you know, there's a few things that the zoning amendment agreement can work out. I think that it's important that we look at the traffic study is mentioned in this report as something that will need to be done, and the traffic department has reinforced that. I'd like some consideration, but I'm not putting it in a motion per se. I just wanted on the record that some consideration to naming of Jim Ernst be a commemoration be worked into either street naming or into the green space. And that some consideration to landscaping in back of 223 Glenbush be taken into consideration. And I just would like that on the record as part of my comments.
Okay. Councillor Phelan?
Sure, no, I'm supportive of the motion going forward. I think it's a pretty decent development. I think that the lot size, although a little bit smaller than just kind of the street over, they are a pretty decent size in most cases. The setbacks are within the realm of, I think, good planning for the most part. I know there's three of the properties are a lot bigger on the other street here that does skew in terms of the numbers a little bit. But overall, I do support it. I do think it is a fairly well-developed plan, and I think it will make an addition to the community.
Thank you, and I'll just reiterate what I mentioned about Glenbush and saving it from, you know, being killed in the construction of the project, so that the administration is aware of that, and that the developer is sensitive to that too as you go forward. So, in any event,
and I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Okay, and the variance item we have?
Yep. Please.
We've got a new process.
Yes. So I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor? Opposed?